Hello, everybody. Welcome back to East Coast Haunts. I'm MK.
And I am Sam.
And today we are bringing you a special Easter episode. We figured that it might be time for us to visit a church. So happy Easter to all who celebrate. And Sam, you want to tell them where we're covering today?
Yes, I would love to. Today we are heading to the beautiful tropical city of Key West, Florida, and we are going to St. Paul's Episcopal Church.
Woo. So
So it's kind of like the perfect little Easter slash like spring break destination. Not that the church is the perfect spring break destination, but you get what I'm saying.
did just look it up, and the Episcopal religion does celebrate Easter Day. So we're in the clear there.
Okay, good. I know that would have been awkward if they didn't, and then we were like, special Easter.
I was like, let me just double check this really quick.
Was probably good. That was probably a good move. So should I just like jump into it?
I think so. Tell us about the history of this crazy little church.
I will, because it has a long and sordid past. Almost all of my information was from the Key West Historic Marker Tour, which I just wanted to give a shout out to because A, it was very informative, and B, I'm pretty sure it's a free tour that you can take yourself if you ever go to Key West. And they just have a bunch of different like audio clips that you play and you listen to as you walk around the town. And if you've never been to Key West, it's pretty walkable, so I thought that was a great idea.
So, have you been to Key West?
I have been to Key West.
Ooh.
I think when I was maybe gonna be a sophomore in college, I went, but that was before I was of
Ooh.
legal drinking age and I wasn't really rebellious, so I didn't get any of the fun drinks. And if you've been to Key West, a lot of it, like the bars and the drinking culture there is huge and super fun, so I kind of feel like I missed out on that. But I am going there for a wedding next week, which is so weird because MK chose this without me even telling her. I was going to a wedding, so I'm absolutely visiting St. Paul's and taking a picture by it. But
Please
yeah, so I have
do.
been there. MK, have you been there?
Okay, I haven't, but I do have like a weird obsession with Key West. Like I always said that like if I were to like kind of uproot my life in like the tri-state area, like Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, like all that, and like move somewhere, it would be Key West. And I like now I'm saying it, I don't think I've been there. But I did used to have an obsession with this book set in Key West, and it was called Turtle in Paradise. And it
That
was
sounds
about
like a
like
book you would be obsessed with.
exactly, it was about this girl named Turtle, and she
Oh.
lived in Key West in like the 30s. And I like just remember reading it and being like, this is the life that I want to read or to live. So shout out, let me get this author's name for you real quick. Jennifer Holm, 'cause
Wow.
you put that dream in my heart way back when I was a little girl. So
And now this
thank you
many
for
years
that.
later, I do th having been there, I do think you would like it. It's fun, it's tropical, there's lots of beachy things to do. There's kind of like a party atmosphere, but there's also like a lot of history, which obviously we'll get into. So you'd be interested. And I remember when I went a few years back, we did a ghost tour and it was so scary and I started crying during it.
Oh.
So yeah, it was so freaky.
Lots of ghosts there in Key West. I did also want to say that one of my like favorite TikTokers, I don't know if he like lives part-time in Key West. His name is Shay Spence. And he always is like, oh, let me like, he's the best. And
He's
he's
a
always like,
food
oh, let me take you to
guy.
like the he's the
Yeah.
best. And he always is like, let's go find like the best key lime pie, which key lime pie is my favorite dessert of all time. And
I don't know if I knew
I
that. I don't
just
know if I
every
knew that about you. But key lime pie is delicious.
I go back and forth between that and like a very specific ice cream flavor from the place that I used to work at. It was like
Okay.
a carrot cake ice cream, which is funny because like I like
Right,
carrot
right,
cake,
right.
but I can like kind of give or take it. But this
But
ice
what
cream
is
was
like
like
the
unreal.
cream cheese frosting or something?
So good. What's your favorite dessert? I don't know if I know this.
I would so that's really I would probably say it's like some sort of cheesecake would be my favorite. Like I love cheesecake so much. Especially the ones from Cheesecake Factory or
That's a
like you
good
know
call.
like the ones with like the chunks in them and stuff. But
Yes.
key lime pie is so good. And when I was there, I had key lime pie on a stick dipped in chocolate and it was delicious. So we should go.
Sounds cute.
We'll have to go. It's super, super, super fun.
I would love to go. Let's go sometime.
I was gonna say not
Let's
this
make this
summer,
happen.
but like maybe like
Yeah,
damn,
no.
maybe when it's maybe after Halloween Horror Nights or before Halloween Horror Nights, even though it's like hours and hours away, we'll do a pit stop. Even though I'm pretty sure you have to like
That
get on a
sounds
plane.
Who
But
cares?
anyway,
We'll
so
kayak out there.
obviously we're you and I are Key West fans, and I know you will be when you get there. So back to St. Paul's Episcopal Church. There are actually four different St. Paul's Episcopal churches in history because four it had to be built four times in an 80-year period because it kept getting destroyed. So that's just something interesting to start off with, the question of like, is it cursed? Or I think more likely, is it just speaking to the perseverance of Key West and the church's parishioners? Like obviously they wanted this church to work. And it eventually ended up working and staying up. So let's get into the very beginning of St. Paul's. The first structure, so we're on church number one, it was built in 1832, which is just 9 years after Key West was originally founded. The Key West community members sent a petition to the Episcopal Bishop of New York, and they were asking him to send a priest to the island, and also they were asking that a church be established on the island. So, you know, I guess they were down there for about a decade. They were getting antsy. They were like, we need a priest to guide us. We need a church to all congregate in. So eventually, they got permission and they sent a priest down. The first church rector, also known as the priest who's in charge of the church, like the head priest, I guess. His name was Reverend Samson K. Brunot or Bruno, Brunot. We don't talk about Bruno. And he arrived on cringe. He arrived on December 23rd, 1832, and he held the parish's first service on Christmas Day in the county courthouse. Which is interesting
How
because I guess
fitting.
it wasn't ready yet, so I guess they had to have the mass in the courthouse. But and I also wrote in my notes, it's crazy for us Northerners that they could have Christmas mass outside, right? But I think I must have misunderstood what I was reading because in no area does it say they had the Christmas mass outside the courthouse.
You thought it said
I think I thought it said courtyard. It's like so embarrassing. Anyway, so unfortunate. So
us
once the church,
Northerners.
I know I like wrote that like so like it's crazy to think that us Northerners like why did you say that? But
Also, wasn't it like 55 degrees on Christmas this year?
yes, I know. Listen, don't listen to me. The global warming. I forgot about global warming. Oh, okay, so there was no rectory built yet. It took a while for a rectory to be built, and the rectory is where the priest would live. And so, since Reverend Brunot did not have anywhere to live, he became a permanent house guest of a man named William Whitehead, who was one of the founders of the city of Key West, which is just kind of like funny, I think nowadays, like. I would love to know how they like drew straws or like decided who was going to have the priest as a permanent house guest for the rest of their lives. But this guy, William, ended up getting him.
Do you think that that was like an honor, or like, because I mean, honestly, like, I would be flattered if like the priest chose my house, but like, I would feel like I wouldn't be able to like do anything ever again, because I'd be like, I feel like, I'd be like, I'd feel so self-conscious having like a glass of wine after dinner or like something like that.
I completely agree. I think that back, I have a feeling back then in the 1830s, I bet it was like everyone wanted to have him because they probably thought it like made them
For
more
sure.
likely to get into heaven or something. But yeah, nowadays I would be so self-conscious of like accidentally like saying like, "Oh my God," because I would be scared he'd be like, "You're taking the Lord's name in vain," or something. So anyway, so that is a really good question. That's a very good question that I do not know the answer to. So the land for the church and the rectory was finally given, and they started to build. And the land that was given by a woman named Mary Fleming, who was the widow of a man named John W.C. Fleming, and he was another Key West founding father along with William Whitehead. Mr.
William
Fleming's
Whitehead
goal
is an
was to,
unfortunate name.
what'd you say?
Yes, William Whitehead is like a very unfortunate, like that's a very unfortunate last name. Whitehead.
It is. I know. It
Pimple.
makes me want to call Dr. Pimple Popper or something. Although I feel like it's kind of common. Like I feel like I've like, especially in the olden days, I feel like it was a pretty common last name.
I definitely heard it
But
before.
yeah, Whitehead. Well, either way, these guys were both founding fathers of Key West, which is kind of cool. And Fleming, the reason that he and Mary moved down there and bought that land, Fleming's goal was to start a sea salt manufacturing business, which was a great
Ooh.
idea, right? But unfortunately, he died in 1832, which, if you'll remember, is the same year that the church was founded. So her husband dies. Obviously, the sea salt factory, it's not like women back then like really were allowed to like run an empire or anything. So she decided to use the land for the church. So she gave the land to the church to use to build the physical church and also have the rectory on there. Her only request, though, was that her husband's remains stay on the ground where he was buried because he was buried on the grounds, like I just said. And he is buried there still. They never took him out or anything, but no one knows exactly where he's buried, which is interesting.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's like anything. I don't think that's anything like spooky or supernatural. It's just kind of like a fun little tidbit. But so the original church, we're still on church number one. It was made out of coral rock, which I thought was interesting, and it
Neat.
was finally completed 7 years later in 1839. So they were building it from 1832 to 1839. Unfortunately, the parishioners did not get to enjoy it for too long because just 7 years later, in 1846, the Havana hurricane destroyed it, along with 793 other Key West buildings, which left only
Oh.
six buildings standing in Key West. So
Are you kidding me?
there were 800 buildings before, 794 buildings were not standing after the hurricane.
I wonder what those six buildings that survived were made of, or like, or maybe they just got like hit a little
Yeah,
less
maybe they.
hard, but like,
No, I know. And
that's
coral, I thought that
crazy.
coral rock was so interesting. I was like, how does that work? This is why we don't have any, this is why all the coral reefs are dead, because they were building churches out of it.
Moral rock.
I was like, I hope it was worth it.
For real. Now we have no barriers, but
I know. But I hope you got your fill, William Whitehead. So now they're going to build a second church because, knock me down, I get back up again. And the second church was finished 2 years later in 1848. So it was a quicker build this time. And it was made out of wood. The church did well for a long time, and a rectory was added to it in 1857. Things are going well. And the rectory was added, so I'm assuming that Reverend Brunote was able to move out of the Whitehead house because, like we were saying, I do feel like that would get kind of awkward. Like if it's been like 20
Yeah,
years, I'd
for
be like,
sure.
okay, let's get this
Yeah,
guy a
at that
little
point,
an
they're like, time
apartment
off
or
for
something.
real.
So unfortunately though, the next disaster struck and Key West's Great Fire hit in 1886. And of course the wooden church was destroyed. But somehow the rectory was not damaged, which is very interesting. And they started
Interesting.
to rebuild right away, and the third church was finished in 1890. So, and again, they made it out of wood this time again, which is kind of like, okay, maybe we
Don't you
should
think
try
they
something
learned from
different.
you?
Yeah,
Yeah,
right?
maybe get that coral rock back.
Yeah. Listen, it kind of reminds me of the story of the three little pigs. Like that's what this reminded me of, like building
Yes,
the house out
yes.
of like all the different materials and like it keeps getting destroyed. So finally, so the third is built now. The third St. Paul's Church is built. It is wooden, but surprise, surprise, disaster strikes once again, in the form of a powerful hurricane that came to Key West in 1909. So for the third time, the church is destroyed and they have to start over from ground zero. Luckily, the parish hall survived, so the churchgoers just went to mass there temporarily. So they didn't
Okay.
have to like stop services or anything, but for the third time it was destroyed.
That's
And it
just a
seems like the people
painful.
are I know, especially because like it's not like it took them like a few months. Like each of these took at least 2 years to build. So yeah. And I guess at this point the people of Key West were fed up having to replace the church every few years. Right. So they were like, so they planned something more sturdy, something stormproof. And Mary Kate, this is going to be right up your alley. But it was just because like your engineering brain, but it was mostly built of solid concrete. And so it was like really sturdy. It was stormproof. It was, and if you look at it today, because this is what it's made out of today, because spoiler alert, luckily it's still up even 100 years later. It's actually beautiful. Like it's really pretty. So, the current church was completed in 1919, and it's this gorgeous white building. It has some stained glass windows, and it sort of is like a mixture of classic, like church architecture, but also some sort of like beachy vibes at the same time.
Ooh. I was hoping that they were going to figure out to use concrete at some point or another. Because honestly, if you're living in like a coastal area with these high wind hurricanes and fires and stuff, that's concrete's probably going to be your best bet there. Now I want to look up pictures though, because I'm usually buildings made out of concrete are not like super elegant, but I
No,
do have to say
look at
that.
it.
So this past summer, I was in Bermuda, and they have some really interesting architecture because obviously they are affected heavily by hurricane season, and so this whole process kind of like reminded me of this like area of Bermuda where they tried to build these like resort type buildings out of like wood and canvas, and they like kept getting knocked down, which like let's
Canvas,
use a
like
little
canvas.
thinking here. Yeah, like can't like almost like a tent, and now everything is made out of like this brightly, like if you ever look at pictures of Bermuda, they're all like concrete buildings because obviously when you have a hurricane coming, high winds, like a lot of storms and flooding, like concrete's a very durable material. So they're like all of these concrete buildings in like just like candy colors, like this like bright yellow and pink and green and
Because they're
blue.
trying to make it like tropical.
Yes, and like all of them have white roofs. And now I'm like gonna start to sound like a little bit of a civil engineering nerd, but like all the roofs are painted white for two reasons. One is because like when it gets super hot in the summer, it like reflects the sunshine, so it has like a higher albedo, and
No.
the houses don't get super hot. But also, Bermuda collects like I want to say like a very high percentage of its like drinking water from roof runoff when it rains. And so like the white I think keeps it like purer than if it were
Oh.
like a darker color. It's very interesting, but I know that's like a little bit of a side tangent, but I felt like I had to give my civil engineering input here.
No,
And
that's like super interesting, especially that the color of the roof affects things. Interesting.
is that
Yeah, I had a
interesting?
feeling.
I think it's so like I love like little facts like that. Oh my God, this church is gorgeous.
It's so pretty, right? It's
It's
like,
giving
yeah.
like it kind of looks like an old Spanish fort, if you can like see what I'm kind of saying there.
Yes. And once someone, if you see the picture, like description actually makes total sense. It's gorgeous. I think that I don't really know what it looked like before because obviously I don't think they had a ton of photos of the first few, but it's like super pretty now. And actually there was a major restoration of the building in 1991 because it was starting to collapse. And that was because the concrete that they used back in the early 1900s had been mixed with seawater and beach sand,
Oh.
which I just put a question mark by. I don't know if you had any insight as to like why would they do that? Because then, of course, that made the steel in the structure split. So they had to like do a lot of work on it. I think they said somewhere it was like $1 million worth of work, but
Whoa.
the work was completed in 1993, and it's been great ever since.
Interesting. So, I mean, when obviously when you make concrete, so concrete is made up of cement, water, coarse aggregate, so like bigger chunks of rock. Like if you ever see like a broken sidewalk and you like see the little chunks of rock sticking out of it,
Yes.
that's like the coarse aggregate, and then fine aggregate. So my best guess as to why they did that would be they used like the sand as a fine aggregate, which is like it's fine, like it's fine, haha. But like obviously seawater has like a high salinity, which I'm assuming would make the steel degrade faster. So I'm not sure what the logic was, but I don't know if there was any logic behind
You know what
using
the goal
seawater.
was,
I think that was
or if it was
plentiful.
just like the
So
nearest available thing they had.
exactly. But if you ever want to know more about concrete, I'm your girl.
Hit her up.
For real.
So that's the history. It obviously has had many second lives, second chances, but I'm interested to hear about the haunts because when I went on the ghost tour, I don't know if they talked about the church at all, so I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Okay, I think this is like a good old class. Like it's been a while since we've done like a classic haunt
It
that
has
there's like
been.
you know, and like I know that we did the Rainbow Room like a couple, like I think it was last episode or maybe two episodes ago, and that one was like super fun. But there was only one like true ghost there that wasn't a poodle, and this one has like a couple of fun ones. So this one's like a classic, like it just like a nice haunts,
Spooky, spooky
exactly.
haunt.
Like this is what you all came to the podcast for, I think. So. Without
I'm
further ado,
excited.
our first spirit that if you visit St. Paul's Episcopal Church, you might run into is none other than John Fleming himself. So,
Way.
yes, he's still up and around there, so the locals say. Like Sam mentioned earlier, the land that the original church was built on was donated by his widow in 1832. Under the condition that her husband would be buried there, and so he was. And like you said as well, no records say he was ever moved, so odds are he
So he's
still
still
is
there.
somewhere on the property. Yep. And some people, like the most common, like fun local tale is that his remains are actually right below the altar of the current church.
Oh, that's kind of cool. That's kind of a cool
Isn't
resting place. Yeah.
it's like a little relic, you
Yeah,
know?
it is. It's just like in Europe. I mean, they have all those bodies in the European churches.
Yeah, I know. Those, honestly, those kind of freak me out. I'm not gonna lie. They have like, I think they
They
have like
freak me out
Mary
too.
Magdalene. They have like Mary Magdalene's skull, I think, which is like obviously a miracle that it's been preserved, but I there's something off-putting about seeing a human skull anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Oh my gosh, what the heck?
people.
I didn't. I'm sorry, I'm looking at her skull now.
Yeah, I know. It's a freaky relic, but you know, very cool nonetheless.
Yeah.
People who reportedly have seen John Fleming say that he's often seen as a quote unquote flimsy white vapor, and he sometimes appears in 19th century garb. And his demeanor seems sort of angry, and people are like kind of postulating that maybe he's upset because his grave was disturbed during one of the four or during one of the three reconstructions.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
So, hey, I'd be angry too if I was woken up out of my final resting place.
It's also just interesting. That's so funny because I did not think that that was going to be one of the hauntings. Because I guess when I was reading it, I was just reading it from like a fact-based perspective. So that's, but it also makes so much sense. Like, of course he would be there.
And it was so funny because when you were like, oh, you know, it's just like an interesting tidbit. I don't think it's supernatural or spooky. I was like, well, just you
You're
wait.
like, let me tell you something.
The next haunt is like it's kind of a little bit gruesome, but there's a group of spirits referred to as the Children of the Graveyard. And
Oh.
the story goes that a pastor of the church discovered that his wife was having an affair with the deacon, who's like, he's sort of like the pastor's assistant. So he flew into a jealous rage and he waited until the two of them were inside the church and he set the building ablaze. So I think this is kind of like a story that was either, you know, I don't know if it's rooted in fact or if it was created to maybe explain the Great Fire of Key West.
Oh my gosh. That's so fr and so everyone died.
Well, he thought it was just the wife and her lover inside the building, but what he didn't realize was that his own children had come and gone in the church as well. And so the fire spread and it trapped and it killed the kids, which is, you know,
That's
obviously
so
horrifying.
bleak.
I know. And the
That is.
kids' spirits are still seen and heard around and in the graveyard. And oftentimes they're seen huddled around like a statue of an angel. And it's thought that maybe this was like a symbol of like protection in their last moments. You know, they're flocking to this guardian angel. I know it is really sad, but like people who see them say that it's not like they don't seem angry or sad. So hopefully they are at peace. And, you know, get to live out the rest of their eternal life in a beautiful, albeit bleak, kind of place.
Well, at least they all, I mean, maybe they found comfort that they were all together or something. That what that
Yes.
dad is an asshole. The
I
hell?
know. I know. That story was like, ugh,
Yeah, that's
made me
disturbing.
sad. And then, last but not least, one of, if not the most famous spirit of Key West, is actually buried in the memorial garden in this graveyard. And his name is Captain Thomas Mann Rudolph, but he's better known as the Angry Sea Captain.
Oh
So
okay. I saw
this
something
guy,
about this.
he's kind of cool. Fun fact, he's actually distantly, not so distantly, but like you know, like a couple of cousins removed. He's related to Thomas Jefferson. So another famous Thomas in American history. He said, "What did I miss?"
What did I miss?
Little Hamilton reference for you there.
Little Hamilton for you
But
all.
Captain Rudolph was born on March 19th, 1778, on the James River in Virginia, and
Oh.
he entered the Navy super early, and that's how he lived out most of his young adulthood. Eventually, he tried to settle down with a wife, and you know, she was not super gung-ho about his sea life, and so she encouraged him
Seafaring
to try out.
ways.
Exactly. Thank you. And so she encouraged him to try out a more terrestrial occupation. She was like, "Why don't you try your hand at farming and agriculture?" So he did for a little bit, but he found that the sea was calling back to him. So off he
Men.
went. He said, "The sea calls, and I must
And I
go."
must go. Landlubbers.
Landlubbers ain't for me. So he joined the merchant service, but he found that he was having to sail through these like horrific conditions. And I think the final straw was like one time he had to sail through 9 days of like this horrific gale out at sea. And, you know, his boat almost capsized. It was just like horrible conditions. And so he left the merchant service and he joined the U.S. Revenue Service. And through that, he became the commander of the revenue cutter, the USS Washington.
Good for him.
And that is how he lived the rest of his days. He died of yellow fever in Key West on August 20th in 1835. And fun fact, his ship, the USS Washington, was actually retired that same year after his death, but it was replaced with an exact replica with the exact same name. So, like, a lot of people don't know that it was actually replaced. But this replacement ship was the one that captured the slave ship, the Amistad. I don't know if you've ever heard about that, like the Amistad.
Yeah, I think I have. I don't
It
want to
was like a
sound
very
uninteresting.
famous. I'm not sure. I watched the movie a while back, but it was a Spanish slave ship,
Okay.
and they managed to gain control of the ship. So
Oh,
very
wow. Okay,
interesting.
so
It was like,
it was a big deal.
yeah, a
Big
very
ship.
interesting movie. Yeah, if you have a chance, watch it. But yes, so that was the ship that captured the Amistad. Captain Thomas Mann Rudolph, he's still in this memorial garden. He supposedly likes to push people who get too close to his grave. He likes his personal
Okay.
space. Can't
I
blame
get
the
it. I
man.
get it.
He likes to sneak up behind people and frighten them by yelling in their ear, which
That's kind of
I have to
funny.
say, like, I am a very jumpy person. So, like, I know that he would be able to get me so easily. I
Yeah,
start
he
so
would.
easily.
He would get your ass so good.
He'd be like, "Got him.
Got
Got her ass."
He
And
would.
he likes to stir up violent winds to shake a specific tree planted just above his grave, and it doesn't affect any other area nearby, like any other part of the garden. Just this one tree that like happens to grow over his grave, and people think that he's like either like remembering or emulating that violent storm he sailed through as a merchant, the like 9 day gale out at sea. So some pretty interesting ghosts here.
Yeah.
I would definitely go. It sounds like from what I've read, it does sound like they're fairly active. Like these are not like one-off experiences. It sounds like a lot of the visitors who go there have some
Get
sort
to
of
experience
paranormal experience.
it. That's really
Yeah.
cool. And honestly, it sounds like they're all like, I feel like, you know, like there's like none of the stories were like, I mean, obviously the church burning one was like really scary, but
Yeah.
overall, it's kind of like they all seem friend pretty like fairly friendly, like if not a little bit
I mean, yeah.
mischievous or grumpy. but aren't we
Yeah,
all
you gotta
mischievous and grumpy?
find a way to entertain yourself.
Yeah. In the afterlife, are you kidding?
Yeah,
Yeah, this
I'll
would be
believe you.
definitely be a fun one to go to. It's like fairly
Yes,
light,
I
I
would
would
love
say.
And then we can get some key lime pie afterwards.
On a stick. Chocolate covered on a stick.
Heck yeah.
Oh, I think
I
that
can
sounds
live
like
out
a
my
good
Turtle in
plan.
Paradise dreams.
Turtle in Paradise is such a funny name. It's like
Need to go read
Cheeseburger in
this book now.
Paradise.
Exactly. Well,
Cheese.
that I feel like we could also find a cheeseburger in Paradise if we visit Key West, so
Oh, we
gotta
absolutely
make
could.
this
There's a whole
trip.
margarita. There's a whole Margaritaville there, so you know we would.
Rip my king, Jimmy Buffett. If I could trade
Aw.
lives with one person, it would be the Jimmy Buffett.
But then you would be
Bro
dead.
broke a million by sitting on a beach. I mean,
He
like a
did.
career.
He's oh, okay. Yeah, he kind of had like the best career path ever. He was
As the
like
millennials would say, he won at life.
he did a thing and he won a life.
Anyway,
He adulted so hard.
I think I said this on the last episode, but like when the millennial humor comes out, you know it's time to say goodbye.
That's when it's time to hang up for the night. Although I do love the millennial humor, you know.
I also do. The quick little side tangent. Did you know that it's out to use the like laughing crying emoji? Because I didn't, and then I got flamed by my sister for using it in a non-ironic context.
I don't want to
You
say
apply that emoji to my cold, dead hands, though.
I was gonna say, I mean, that emoji, like, depending on who you're texting, like, I don't think it'll ever be out. Like,
Sure.
you can tell whichever, I don't know which sister of yours it was that said that. I understand where they're coming from, but like, trust, like, tell them to wait like 5 years until they're like out of college, and I guarantee you they'll start using it again because it's so helpful. Like, you just need to use it
You're
sometimes.
so right. Like sometimes I
And
use
not.
it to like diffuse the text because I'm like, is this coming across as like too harsh? Because I'm just one of
Yeah,
those people. I
right?
can't put LOL another time, so
So, like, let me put my little trusty crying laughing face. That one, yeah, I
laughing,
honestly,
crying.
I see why they say that, but I don't think that it's cringe to use it. I think that maybe it used to be
Thank
cringe to
you.
use it, but I think it's back in. That's what I say.
I really didn't think there was anything wrong with it. And then maybe, I don't know. We're like the older Gen Z.
Yeah, we're the elder Gen Zs. I'm especially an elder
You
Gen
are.
Z.
I mean, yeah,
Like, I'm
we are
right on
really
the
right on.
cusp.
Yeah.
Well, either way.
Anyway, I think I
We
was
will.
looking over like our demographics, and I think most of our listeners are Gen X, actually. So
Oh,
we'll have to,
okay.
I think we have like a lot of older millennials and Gen X. So
I like
shout
that
out to them.
generation, though. I was gonna say, I
I
like
really do vibe
that
with Gen X. I think Gen
Yes,
X
I
and
do.
Gen Z have
I
like a
think Gen X
similar.
is all. I think Gen X is so sweet.
I do too. I think they have
They're,
like a
yeah.
similar humor too.
Yeah, well, our moms are both Gen X. So, my dad is actually technically a boomer, which is crazy. But,
Really?
yes, he's like
Okay,
he was like the last year of
boomer.
like boomer. I know, my mom always says that to him.
Your
It's
dad is
so
not
funny.
a
He's a
Your dad
little
is like,
boomer.
I feel like he's like quintessential Gen X. Anyway,
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
anyway, we love you, millennials, Gen X, and Gen Z. And if we've got any
And
boomers
boomer.
listening to us, we love you too.
We also love you. And
I don't
anyone in the
know.
silent generation also.
That's the one I couldn't remember. And that was
There
the like
it
Gen Alpha is like the one after Gen Z or something, I
like the
think.
iPad kids or whatever.
Yeah.
Got
Do we have any iPad kids? Let us know. All right,
any
everyone.
iPad
Have
kids
a
listening?
great night.
Or day.
Happy Easter if you celebrate.
Happy
And
Easter.
happy
We'll
Easter,
be back
everybody.
soon.
We will. Maybe
Everybody.
we'll have to do like a Get it. Maybe we'll have to do like a super like scary episode next. I feel like we haven't done like a one that's like freaked me out in a little while. Besides our Wendigo on the Patreon, that one freaked me out.
Oh yeah, that the Patreon ones tend to be a little spookier, in my opinion. Yeah, we'll do something creepy next. We'll do something super creepy next.
All right. Well, if you have any suggestions, let us know. Until then, stay spooky. And we're creep just too real. Creep it real.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.